Hey, Masters of the Multi-Usiverse, welcome back to the Multi-Usiverse podcast. My name is Gar Punnett, Chief Impact Officer here at Reaply. We have another great episode with Sandra Noonan, Chief Sustainability Officer from Just Salad. We're fans of a reusable bowl here at the Multi-Usiverse podcast and at Reaply. We had a great conversation, got to dive into a little bit about the process of scaling reuse at the organization, as well as what does that mean for when you're trying to inspire reuse at your own organization? How do you catalyze that action? We got to talk a little bit more with Sandra Noonan. Please enjoy the interview, and also, as always, follow us on YouTube, subscribe wherever you can, rate us when you can, but then also you can find us at reaply.com/multi-usiverse-podcast. Hey, Sandra, thanks for joining us today. Please, could you introduce yourself and talk a little about what you're doing at Just Salad?
Sure. Thanks, Gar. I'm really happy to be here. I am Sandra Noonan. I'm Chief Sustainability Officer at Just Salad. We are a restaurant chain founded in New York City in 2006. So we've been around for a long time, and we are now growing faster than ever. So we're in six U.S. states, primarily New York, Florida, Chicago, but also New Jersey, Pennsylvania, in North Carolina. And our mission is to make everyday health and sustainability possible. And our claim to fame on the sustainability front has traditionally been our reusable bowl program, a circular packaging program that I'm sure we'll talk about
this conversation. Yes. I'm glad you already went there. You have two fans here in Just Salad. And ultimately then I again thought it was appropriate to then go fill up my bowl. Yes. And have my salad today. Let's dive into that though. I would love to learn about the expansion and what that means for sustainability. Being in six states means you are then trying to figure out the supply chains of those six states, trying to figure out the best healthy ingredients that you can get to those markets. What does that mean for somebody in your position in sustainability if someone's thinking about being in supply chain, but then also considering that sustainability effort?
Yes, great question. Sustainability has to scale. And in the restaurant industry, that means it has to scale across your training programs, your supply chain, and your customers. And so when we think about our reusable bowl program, we have embedded circular packaging into our operations. And when I say that, it's every facet of our operations. So whenever we open a new store, it's now embedded in our culture and our process and our checklists and our supplier contracts. We are ordering our reusable packaging for the store. Every teammate has to complete a training on how to serve food in a reusable bowl in a manner that's safe, standardized across all our stores. And so it's not just managing a supply chain, but it's embedding it into a culture and a way of operating.
That's one thing to start that when it's the ethos, almost the origin of the company, a whole nother thing to scale that. I was reading that it started a little bit with sort of, again, from a foundation of when where the company started of really thinking through these things a little bit differently. What has that process been like to consistently integrate that type of consideration? We're going through scaling ourselves. It is always interesting to almost feel like you're repeating yourself over and over again to consistently be placing this, but how important it is to that scaling process. I bet it's no different on y'all's end of just considering amount of times that it goes into education and trainings, as well as then even tweaking it here and there to make sure it stays consistent, but ultimately scaling.
Yeah, it operates on a couple of levels, scaling such a unique program. The one level is, again, like the standard operating procedure, the playbook for how to execute a circular packaging program every single day and in all these different locations. That's almost the easy part when you have a great operations team that is overseeing that. But I think the harder part is keeping your company inspired as to the why of circular packaging. And I think over time, you constantly want to be iterating on the story and the reason. And so what I mean by that is for the first many years of Just Salad's existence, we ran the program, the circular packaging program, and it was great. And that was that. But then a couple years ago, we did a year-long life cycle analysis of our reusable wool program, because it was now you have to move with the culture. And now the customer needs more data on why this matters. And I think that conducting that very rigorous life cycle assessment allowed us to quantify the carbon emission savings from choosing reusable versus disposable, the water savings benefits, the energy savings. And I think that was a real step forward for our company in explaining to the customer why this is circular packaging is truly like a climate related choice.
Totally.
So that was a big milestone. And we see restaurants are so prevalent in our culture. They employ so many people. Everyone eats. Fast casual is a huge part of our restaurant economy and our food economy, that we do feel that we have the platform to inspire a cultural conversation about the role of disposables in our society at a time when the crises of waste and climate change are escalating and are becoming more clear the data. So taking it back to your question, I think you have to operationalize and scale through just the operations part of it, but you also have to continue motivating and creating a narrative for why this really matters.
I love that you bring that up, because again, it's one thing to present an option to a consumer base, a whole nother to then continually educate and remind and reiterate why that's important to make that decision, or at least giving the most amount of information to your consumer and saying, hey, you've asked for this choice. We're presenting you the data and the option, and then seeing where that pans out. What were the reflections back to you from consumers? I'm curious what types of questions they had about bowls, especially something reusable coming out of the pandemic. What has that been like? What type of reflections have you gotten back from consumers?
So baseline, our customer loves the reusable bowl because we subsidize the program with free food. Yes. Every time you come in, you get a free topping. So Just Salad is in the business of serving healthy food, but also giving a pretty nice portion of free food away if you decide to make this pro planet choice.
Yep.
So I say that because customers have that establishes a real connection, appreciation of the program. So by and large, customers are just very appreciative of it. Coming out of COVID, I think that it was pretty simple, especially after a group of more than 100 scientists, doctors, public health professionals signed a statement saying reusables are absolutely safe.
Love that.
And we, once we were able to reopen our stores after the worst days of the pandemic, we resume the program pretty quickly. So we also have a contactless procedure.
Yep.
Where it's very, very rigorously trained. And so
I was so impressed with that procedure. It was almost like I actually almost kept grabbing. I was presented the bowl on a tray and I kept grabbing the tray and people might be like, no, just the bowl. And I was like, got it, just the bowl, when I was using it for the first time. Okay. So it was great. I only say that because I'm always fascinated by the harsh reactions of reuse that we always see, and how there's stigma attached to reuse, but it can be overcome by just, again, education, explaining it, giving people the option and telling them, hey, there's also huge benefits. Not only do you get this sort of environmental benefit, but it is nice that Just Salad then presents the extra food option in that as well. I also, I was, uh, my I loved when I was reading that you all did make an effort to be like, hey, you're also not getting any less food. These are the same actual, the same amount of food in each bowl. And so you're not losing out there as well. Yeah. So it was just like very clear where that made so much sense for the consumer that that would be one of also the first concerns is like, am I getting less out of a reusable? No, you're not. It's the same thing. So yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your journey then through reuse and why and how you sort of came into this at Just Salad, what this has meant, and then really what's next. I saw there's actually even a couple versions of this bowl, at least, and I'd love to learn a little bit more too about the evolution.
Yeah. So the first part of that question, I came to Just Salad in 2019. I was really inspired by some leaders in the zero waste space that I was reading about at the time, Bea Johnson, Lauren Singer. These are individuals who have created whole communities of people who are interested in living a low waste life. And I was Googling for fast casual restaurants that would maybe accept a container. I was completely fed up with throwing away a piece of packaging every time I ate something on the go. And I found Just Salad in a New York Times article and learned about their program. And pretty quickly after that, emailed our founder, who's now my boss, and said, this is great. You need to do more with this. I am so inspired. That led to me joining the company. I was just a raving fan of the company. And so what's next? So we've been on a, you know, the priorities have been to quantify the carbon emission savings of the reusable bowl. Now that that project is complete and we've established that after two uses of the reusable bowl, you are breaking even and coming out ahead on carbon emissions.
That's incredible.
Now that that is done and we've drawn that conclusion, we have, as you alluded to, started thinking about how to make reusables work in digital ordering. And so we have rolled out to 10 stores a program called Bring Back, where you can order in our app and say, I want this order served in a reusable container. And when you opt in for that, when you go and pick up your order, you'll have it in this green reusable bowl, and you can, similar to Blockbuster for those of us old enough to remember, or a library lending program, you bring the bowl back, we wash and sanitize, and the cycle repeats. Amazing. So that is phase two.
Phase two. You bring up that zero waste living lifestyle. Again, that was one of my introductions, even into circular economy and zero waste, was also Lauren Singer. How has that played into both your life personally, but then also professionally? We're something similar on our end. And I don't even know if Andrew, who's in the podcast studio, knows this. When we moved into our office, one of the first things I did was ensure that the very simple thing, if we moved all the trash cans to the front of the office so that it wasn't, everyone had to be very conscious of the throwaway decisions that were being made in the office and how much, so that everyone could see the waste that was being accumulated in the office. That was something that I felt very personally and then professionally passionate about. How has that sort of, again, taken hold in your life so that we can inspire more others to think about this and then professionally as well?
Yeah, such a good question. For me, the throwaway culture we live in has gotten out of control. I started feeling this way many years ago when I started realizing that almost every transaction I have as a human involves throwing something away.
Yeah.
So I, for instance, going to the drugstore, I would get a mile-long receipt without asking for it. And so in the act of purchasing something I needed, I had to throw a piece of paper away. And behind that piece of paper is a tree. And it just became so prevalent over the years, more and more so. And it just stopped feeling natural to me. And so I think that, you know, every generation, hopefully more, our culture has the opportunity to change And I really feel that living zero waste is, or not zero waste, but low waste is a more modern way of living, or should be, than the throwaway culture we have started taking for granted.
Yes.
And I say that because our modern world is one where species extinction, waste, and climate change are real. And if that's the world we live in, the modern response to that is to change our relationship to single use, constant waste. I don't think we need to take that for granted. There was before the 1950s, when plastic became so prevalent, people didn't live that way. So now let's use our ingenuity and our modern technology and find a new paradigm. That's how I think about it.
I will have to send you this picture, and you might even know the image I'm talking about, but that was the throwaway culture. And you mentioned, I'm bringing this up because you mentioned the 1950s, was the original Time article where it was featured the new throwaway lifestyle, where you could throw away anything that you would actually be using in the household. And I found this and I was just so fascinated. I actually ended up buying the original Time issue because it was like $17. And I was like, I need that for history. Like, I want to see this and feel this. And it was just fascinating to the point where you could buy a original pan that was an aluminum pan that you could then throw away, or a 100% asbestos grill that you could grill on. And it was like, well, okay, times have changed. So we've moved away from that, and we can move away from the single use as well.
Right. And I think Ron Gonin, the CEO of Closely yes. Partners, lays that out, that those Time covers and everything. He discusses those in his book, A Waste-Free World. So, in The Graduate, the movie The Graduate, yes, Dustin yes. Hoffman is told there's this new sector you should look into, plastics. And so I think the pendulum swung too far.
What's the new sector?
The new sector is, well, there's many, right? But circularity is a word that we all have started seeing more and more of. And consumer brands are now emerging that are seeking to transform products that are single use into reusable products, whether it's makeup, whether it's clothing. I don't necessarily want to point out a sector, but just the fact that there are brands emerging that are rethinking the single use plastic container. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I like what, you know, circularity just being as prevalent in any types of decision we could maybe make at the corporate, even household level, of how are we thinking about everything that we're using and consuming to the point where we can continue to reuse it and circulate it through our offices and our households. I want to round this out too with a piece of advice then from you on, again, either professional career in establishing programs and advancing those programs. How would you sort of give that advice to someone who's saying, I want to do this, I've brought this to my company a bunch, I don't know who the right person is to talk to, but how do you get something going? How do you really catalyze this action?
Yes, some advice. I've given a class on our reusable program.
Yes.
And I give a lot of advice in that class. But one way to think about starting a program is thinking a reuse program is thinking about reuse as a system. So I actually have, I borrowed this from a research piece, but I have a diagram where you think of the system in distinct parts. And you start with, what is the container? So you're trying to replace a single-use container with disposable one. What is it? How do you get it? Where do you produce it? The next step of the system is consumption. That means everything to do with the end user. How do you make them aware the option exists versus disposables? How do you get them to opt in? How do you transact with that container. So at Just Salad, for example, it's a little bit different if you're doing reusable versus disposable. How do you hand it off and prep it? Does it need a different handling? The third, there's only four pieces. The third is collection. How are you going to get those containers back? If you need to get them back, how are you going to get them back? And then processing. Once you have the containers, how do you sanitize, inventory them? Because you will have these in inventory as opposed to disposables, which just go in the garbage. And then one last piece to kind of round that out, how much impact do you actually have in terms of carbon emission savings and water use, for example? So my piece of advice is think system-wide and design for impact. There's a reason Just Salad doesn't serve stainless steel containers. There's way more embedded energy and carbon in stainless steel. It would require you to use that container hundreds of times, roughly speaking, versus the two it takes with our current container because it's a much lighter weight material. Sorry, long answer, but think of the system.
That's the answer.
And think of your impact.
No, I think that is the answer. And I always, that additional consideration you throw in there around materials, I think is super important. The answer isn't always going to the heaviest and sturdiest because of the additional impact associated with that across just not only the systems locally, but then also where those materials are coming from. I love that. And thank you so much for your time today. Again, walking us through a whole bunch of basics, but then digging into the details a little bit. I enjoyed the salad. I've got it right here. Andrew and I will be doing more of this lately. And then again, thanks for the time today.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
Thanks, Andrew.